You have a Bible, please, if you would turn to the book of Colossians this morning. Colossians chapter 1. Last week we noted some, as I should say the week before that, 2 weeks ago, we noticed some general principles concerning guidance from the Gospel of John chapter 9. This morning and this evening I'd like to be a little bit more specific and note some principles concerning God's will, knowing God's will in every area of life, how to know God's will in every area of your life. I'd like for us to begin here in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. And as the Apostle Paul prayed for the church at Colossae, he prayed concerning God's will. Here in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9, it reads, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, O God, that you do live, and you are our God, you are our Saviour. And Lord, we so desire to please you and honour you. So I ask and pray now as we study your word that you would quieten our hearts, that you'd quicken our minds and give us understanding, O Lord, we pray, concerning your will, discerning your will for our lives, and making decisions that are pleasing to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Knowing God's will in every area of my life. How do we know God's will? Decisions need to be made in every day. We need to make decisions. Every day of our lives involves making decisions, some not so life-threatening, and some a little bit more life-changing, life-directing. For example, this morning as I made a decision concerning what tie to wear, it wasn't a difficult process. It normally isn't. I simply go over to where the ties are stacked on my tie rack, and I slide back the mirror door, and I reach out and I grab a tie. And I spend no more than 2 seconds coordinating the colour with what I'm wearing, and it's as simple as that. It's not very difficult. All of us make decisions on that level all the time. But then there are some more major issues in life that take a little bit more thought, a little bit more consideration. For example, what career path will I choose? Who will I marry? That's an important one right there. Should I be in the ministry or not? How much should I give to the missions program of my local church? What shall I say? What shall I do? Shall I buy? Shall I not buy? Life is full of decision-making opportunities. And it's so important that we know God's will and we understand some biblical principles that will help us to not only make those minor decisions, but will help us more so to make those major decisions. I would assume that all of us would agree that there are some minor areas that we make decisions in. What we'll eat, or what we won't eat. What we will wear or not wear. As long as we wear something, that's the issue. Then there are some middle grade decision areas that are not necessarily life threatening, but it takes a realm of contemplation and consideration. What type of car will I buy? What make will I avoid? And then there are some major, major, major decisions that will determine the direction of your life, my life. So in all of these areas, I would have to say, and I think you would humbly agree with me, that we need to know the will of God. There are some foundational truths found in God's eternal word that will help us to make godly decisions. And here in verse number 9 of Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul desired these believers would be full of God's, of the knowledge of the will of God. That was one of his prayers, that God's people would have an understanding of the will of God. And now, why is that so important? Well, note then verse number 10, it reads that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. That we might walk in a worthy manner, in a manner that's well pleasing to God. Unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So the Bible teaches us it's important that we know the will of God because we need to walk in a way that God is well pleased with. Our lives need to please our God. Our lives need to please our Savior. When the Lord Jesus was baptized there in Matthew chapter 3 verse 17, the Bible teaches us that God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So the Apostle Paul prayed for these believers that they might have a full understanding of the will of God. To what end? Their lives might be well pleasing to Almighty God. And if your life and if my life is to bring the greatest pleasure to our Creator, we must all agree that we need to be in the center of the will of God. Let me hear an amen there. We must be in the center of the will of God. We must be doing exactly what He wants us to do if we are to bring our God the greatest pleasure. Now, I'd like for us to note two words. God's will. God's will. And I'm going to take each of those letters and highlight a biblical principle concerning God's will. The G stands for God's. Principle number one, how do I know God's will for my life? The G stands for God. God's, not your will, should be first place. God's, not your will, should be first place. Back then, Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. This is very, very important. And I'm absolutely convinced that the average Christian does not even leave base one concerning God's will. And they struggle, and they struggle, and they struggle. And let me tell you why the average believer struggles so much concerning God's will. Because it is not God's will that they're after, really. It's really their own. So the principle of God's, not your will, needs to be first place. That's what the G stands for. Here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible teaches us that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. The problem with a living sacrifice is that it can choose to crawl off the altar. And that's the problem with the average Christian. They're crying out, God, I need to know your will. I need to know your will. But the true heart issue is, we're not really interested in what God's will is. We want to do our own thing. Our lives are not sacrificed. We're not a living sacrifice. See, God has created us with a will, so we need to choose to use that will to walk in a way that's pleasing to God. God didn't give you the ability to choose just to do your own thing. God gave us the ability to choose, the will, to show God that we love Him. We want to honor Him. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 13, the Bible teaches us it is God that wills within you both to do, to will and to do of His good pleasure. So principle number one concerning knowing God's will for my life. The G stands for God's. Not your will should be first place. If you want to know God's will for your life, you need to begin with God. In other words, let God be Lord of your life by completely surrendering to His will. When the Apostle Paul was converted there in Acts chapter 9, verse number 6, he said, Lord, that was his confession of faith. The next statement was, what wilt thou have me to do? I don't read of the Apostle Paul struggling concerning a knowledge of God's will for his life. He got up to a good start. Let me tell you why he got up to a good start. Because he surrendered. See? And this is often the struggle that the believer faces, is that he is so full of his own selfish desires and his own selfish expectations. And therefore, the clarity of the will of God is just not there. It's just not there. Our lives are so often full of selfish ambitions. And this darkens the clarity of God's will being revealed in our lives. Now, some of those ambitions might not be wrong. Might not be a wrong ambition, but it's still selfish. For you young people, you young adults, you might be craving to be married. But that might not be the will of God for you. It might not be the will of God for you. See? And you and I need to surrender to that very fact. I believe it's the will of God for most, but it might not be the will of God for you. So the principle is right there that you and I as God's people need to surrender our lives fully to Him and to present our bodies a living sacrifice. See, God has created us. He owns us. He holds us together. He has saved us from our sin, for those of us that are Christians this morning. He has the right, He has the ability to set a course for my life. That's best for me. And that'll give Him greater glory. So the G stands for God's. God's, not your will, should be first place. That's base number one. Most Christians do not leave that base. They cry out, I want to know the will of God. I want to know the will of God. But down in the depth of their innermost being, they have these little agendas. You can say amen right there. They have these little agendas. And that darkens the clarity concerning the will of God. Principle number two is taken from the letter O. God's will. The O stands for obedience. Obedience to the known will of God. The G stands for God's. God's, not your will, should be first place. We need to surrender our lives to Him. A living sacrifice. It's in the context of a living sacrifice that we will know the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Secondly, the principle of obedience. The O stands for obedience. Obedience to the known will of God. Let's go to the Gospel of John chapter 2, please. The Gospel of John chapter 2, verse number 5. This is the first recorded miracle of our Lord. And note what Mary said to the servants. Mary gave the servants at this wedding feast some wise advice. It's found here in verse number 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 5, it reads, His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. There it is, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Mary gave these servants some very wise advice. Whatever he asks of you, do it. And this led to the first miracle of our Lord within his public ministry. See, brethren, this morning, if we are to know God's will for our lives, we must, number one, begin with God. God's not your will for your life. We need to present our bodies a living sacrifice. The letter O stands for obedience. Obedience. That is obedience to the known will of God. See, God often leads us from the known to the unknown. That blind man there in John chapter 9, verse number 7, the Lord Jesus said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. The Lord Jesus did not say to him, if you will wash, then you will be healed. Didn't say that. See, the known will of God is likened to a lamp unto our feet. And then the perfect will of God is likened to the light unto our path. Psalm 119 verse 105. So in other words, God gives us some initial light that takes care of the present, our feet, but then God in his grace through his eternal word will give us some greater light that will lighten our path. We must move from the known will of God. Obedience to the known will of God. There in Genesis chapter 2, we have God clearly directing Abraham to sacrifice Isaac on that altar. But as he obeyed, God gave him further clarity concerning his perfect will. God gave him some clarity concerning some other details concerning that sacrifice. And my friend, this morning the scriptures clearly spell out God's general will for our lives. And we don't need to pray about obeying God's word, do we not? We just need to obey. And this is base number two, why so often many of God's people do not know the will of God for their life. They struggle with God's will for their life because they're not being obedient to God's revealed will. What they know to be true. What God has clearly commanded us in the Bible. We don't need to pray about obeying God's word. We just need to obey. And then the foundation is set in place for us to discern and receive his perfect will. Why would God reveal to you his perfect will if you're not even obeying God in the revealed will? There in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, the Bible teaches us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is long-suffering to usward. Who's the usward? Believers? Christians? It's our responsibility to be a witness for Christ. See? That's the revealed will of God, for all of us to be a witness. In Acts chapter 10, verse 48, the Bible teaches us that we are commanded to be baptized. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible teaches us that we are to be thankful in all things. In Ephesians 5:18, the Bible teaches us that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And note then, 1 Thessalonians, please, chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 3 and 4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, and that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. The principle of cleanliness. to be set apart from sin. Brethren, God has called us to be holy because He indeed is holy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, the Bible spells out very clearly, be holy because I am holy. God is a holy God. And when God's people are not living holy lives and pure lives and clean lives, how can we expect to know God's will for our lives? How can we expect to have the clarity there concerning those decisions that need to be made? Brethren, the will of God is that you and I, as God's people, live holy lives. Let me ask you this morning, what uncleanness do we need to purge our lives of this morning? The Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 12, laying aside every weight and every sin which does so easily beset us. Maybe it's an association, a companion that is just dragging you down. Maybe it's some worldwide website that you keep returning to that's not helping you spiritually. Maybe it's just some internet, social network that you're involved with. It's no help to you spiritually. It's not aiding godliness. We need to lay it aside and live holy and godly lives. Maybe it's some TV program you're watching that's just dishonorable to the Lord. Some movies you view. Some music you listen to. Some leisure you're involved in. Brethren, abstain from all appearance of evil. That's what the Bible teaches us. And may God help us to live pure and godly lives and holy lives. And may God help us to see the importance of godliness and holiness. Because if we don't see that importance, we'll struggle with the will of God. Uncleanness will darken the clarity concerning God's will. I'm concerned about all the filth that is coming through that computer screen. Really concerns me. All these social network sites. Brethren, you're going to get yourself into trouble. And it really burdens me as a pastor. Parents, you're allowing your children to get on social networks and they're going to get themselves into trouble. Blogs and Facebook and MySpace and YouTube, there's filth and junk all over that stuff. And you'll get yourself into trouble. It really concerns me. It really does. Don't bother with Facebook. Learn to talk face to face with people. What garbage when somebody sends you a little note and invites you to be one of their friends. At the bottom there they've got, I've got 436 friends. What a load of rubbish. You think they really believe that? That's nonsense. You don't have friends. You have associates. You have acquaintances. And some of those are sharks. Some of those are devils. Some of those are perverts. Some of those are sodomites. And you parents are allowing your children to be involved in that stuff? I'm not interested. I'm not interested. I don't need it. I wonder why we struggle with the will of God for our lives. So our pastor doesn't really matter. Listen, brethren, you don't need to be involved in a social network. That is the epitome of selfishness. You posting your life on some board, that's selfishness. That's not Bible Christianity. Bible Christianity is humility. Am I right or not? To what avail? To what point? I'm a pastor. I'd like for my friends to know what's happening in my life. Well, do they really know everything that's happening in your life? Have you heard about talking face to face? You understand that we can actually communicate one with another in person because there's some pervert out there that's out to destroy your life and is after your scalp. Really concerns me. Really concerns me, all this sort of stuff. Just recently a pastor said to me, I was asking after a pastor, and the pastor said to me, he's on Facebook. I said, brother, I preach against Facebook. Do you want a sermon or do you want to change the subject? He said, let's change the subject. You don't need that junk. Think about it. What are you doing? You young adults are on Facebook. Think about it. What are you doing? To what avail? Oh, but pastor, it's a little bit of fun. You'll get yourself into trouble. Is it really needful? It's a selfishness. You're just promoting your life. That's self. That's not Galatians 2:20. For me to live is Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ. All of these social networks, they're just all about self. Me, myself, I. Brethren, it's not about you. It's about Christ. And it's breeding that selfishness. We don't need it. So don't you dare, young adults, teenagers, don't you dare invite my children to be on your Facebook or your MySpace or blogs or whatever you call them. And I'm sure there's a bunch of other ones too. They're all the same. Not interested. Are we still friends? Are we still friends? You don't need it. Right? You don't need it. You'll get yourself into trouble. And if you want to know some of the horror stories, come and see me. I'll give you a whole bunch. They're unbelievable. Via those mediums I just mentioned. The past is a little bit of fun. Why don't you do something a bit more constructive? Do a little bit more soul winning. We've got a bookstore full of good books that you can read. Why waste your time? Brethren, if we want to know the will of God for our lives, we need to be obedient to the revealed will of God. And the Bible teaches us this is the will of God. Even your sanctification and the medium of that computer screen is destroying lives all the time. May God help us, protect us. The letter G stands for God's desire. The word desire. There in Psalm 37, please. One of our scripture memory verses. Psalm 37, verse number 4, the Bible teaches us to delight thyself also in the Lord. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. When God instituted the Christian home, he brought Adam and Eve together and made them one flesh, the Bible teaches us. That oneness would lead to likeness. And within a marriage, those of us that are married, we understand the closer that we get to one another, the greater our likeness will be. And the same application is found for you and I, Bible-believing Christians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible makes reference to the fact that as we spend time with our Lord in His presence, we will be transformed into His image. Into his likeness, will be changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And this is the transforming power of God's Word and the Holy Spirit upon the life of the believer as they spend time with God. And my friend, concerning God's will for your life and concerning God's will for my life, Step number one, begin with the word G, the letter G, the word God. God's not your will. Then the letter O stands for obedience. Obedience to the known will of God. What you know to be right, what you know to be true, do it. Then the letter D stands for the word desires. One of the first questions I will ask an individual who is seeking counsel concerning God's will is simply this. Do you have a consistent devotional life? Do you have a consistent devotional life? Because if you are having a consistent devotional life, if you're spending time in the Bible, if you're spending time in prayer, then God's desires will become your desires. Delight thyself also in the Lord. The word delight there means is in connection to our relationship with the Lord. As we spend time with God, then we will be changed into His image by His eternal Word. As we read our Bibles, as we pray. So therefore, a supernatural work takes place. We are changed into the image of Christ. As we focus upon Christ in the Scriptures, we are changed into His image in the power of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, our desires are replaced with God's desires. It's as simple as that. It's not complicated. I'm amazed time and time again that God has changed my desires to fit in with His desires. That's how God works. When you and I sincerely walk with God, then God will give us biblical desires, godly desires. And all stems back to a walk with God. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Do you spend time with the Lord daily? Do you spend time with the Lord daily reading the Word in prayer? Then, my friend, you are on the right path. The path of transformation. And part of that transformation is likeness into Christ. The likeness of Christ will be a reality in our lives. And that also includes our desires. The letter S stands for Scriptures. G stands for God. O stands for obedience. D stands for desires. S stands for Scriptures. In Jeremiah chapter 32, please. Jeremiah chapter 32. The Bible reads in verse 6, and Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalem, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anathoth. For the right of redemption is thine to buy it. So Hanamel's mine uncle's son came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that it is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. Then in verse number 9, the Bible teaches us that Jeremiah bought that field. Now we've got to bear in mind that Jeremiah is in prison. He was told by God to buy his uncle's field in Anathoth. Now this was unusual, an unusual command when you consider that Jeremiah had no guarantee that he would ever be released from prison. He didn't know as to whether he'd be released. And secondly, Jeremiah, listen to me, Jeremiah, he knew that the Babylonians would invade, destroy, and capture his people and carry them to Babylon. He knew that. So he knew what was destined for God's people, and he was in prison. God has not told him to this point that you'll be released. And my friend, this morning, when we consider the will of God, Sometimes God's will doesn't make sense initially. But God will reveal the finer details in the future. See, there in verse number 44 of this chapter, God revealed to Jeremiah why he was to buy that field, because it was an illustration concerning the fact that God will one day allow his people to return back to the land. And my friend, this is why we need to rest our faith upon the Scriptures. It was the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah. God will use His precious word to confirm His will for your life. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 5, the word of God is referred to as the good word of God. I like that. The good word of God. God will use the Scriptures to confirm His will for you. Now, it's not like a witch hunt. Trying to find Scriptures that will harmonize with your desires. That's not how it works. Where you think that you have a desire that comes from God, and therefore you begin from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and you're looking for verses that you can so interpret to justify how you're feeling and what you're wanting. No, that's not how it works. Listen to me very carefully. This is how it works. As we continue our walk with the Lord, seeking His will for our lives, God will, in the course of our readings, specifically speak to our hearts concerning His will and the power of the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, the Bible teaches us you have the full presence of the Holy Spirit living within you. And you know what is meant by the statement, God speaking to you through the Word. You understand that. God speaks to us from His Word. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible is likened to life-giving. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. In Psalm 19, the Bible makes reference to the Word of God being perfect. My friend, this morning, your King James Bible is perfect. God is able to speak through His sufficient Word. And God is leading you in a direction, then God will confirm it from His Word. And as you and I walk with God and daily read our Bibles and spend time in prayer, God in His power is able to lift a Scripture to confirm this is the will of God for you. And you'll know it. Now, if that means nothing to you, maybe you need to become a Christian. Because that's how it works. You continue your Scripture readings. And God is able to lead through the Word, and God has time and time again done so in my life, and I'm sure in the lives of many here this morning, revealed His will through His Word. And see, that is what will keep us on track, will it not? What was it that kept Jeremiah on track? It was the Word of the Lord that came unto him. Because on the surface it made no sense. Why was he to buy property while in prison? And why was he to buy property in a land that would be captured by the enemy? It was the Word of God that kept him on track. And my friend, when we consider the will of God for our lives, it's the Word of God that will keep us on track. And to be careful lest we lean on worldly wisdom. Politicians, the media, technology, science, psychology, the internet, or some octopus by the name of Paul. Fading, what a bunch of rubbish. And people are gullible enough to believe that junk. And some of you have believed it. Oh, that octopus, Pastor, has psychic power. There's no such thing as either demonic power or godly power. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. But my friend, for you and I as Bible-believing Christians, we have the Word of God. And if we would just spend a little bit more time reading the Bible, instead of Facebooking, or blogging, or MySpacing, or tubing, whatever it's called, and Googling, you might have a great understanding of God's Word, and your life might be a little bit purer at the end of it. This is a supernatural book. Do you believe it? This is a supernatural book. Do you believe it? No, you don't. Because the average Christian looks elsewhere. Reads the book. Googles. Asks advice. We neglect the power of God right here. Pastor, you mean that God can actually reveal to me whether I should, for example, take this job as opposed to that job through the Scriptures? Yes, I believe that. Pastor, you really believe that through the Scriptures God can confirm to you, God can confirm whether you should marry this individual or not marry this individual? Yes, I do. Pastor, you really believe that God can clearly confirm His will concerning your missions offering for the glory of God through the Scriptures? Yes, I do. The Bible is supernatural. And brethren, if we would just spend more time in this than what half of you are spending on that nasty computer, and it's getting you into trouble, and it will get you into trouble, you'll be better off. You mark my words. You mark my words. Scriptures are powerful. God speaks through the Word of God. God's will. G stands for God. God's not yours. The O stands for obedience. Obedience to God's known will. The D stands for desires. Your desires will become God's desires, or I should say God's desires will become our desires as we spend time with Him. And listen to me, the S stands for the Scriptures. God speaks through the Scriptures. God speaks through the Scriptures. God's will. We'll take care of will tonight. Four more principles. W-I-L-L. You have to come back tonight for that one. Let's stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed.